Taiwan Special, episode 2 for the week. So I explained yesterday that I've been meeting all these people that have these difficulties that come from a buildup. And the one at the very end, classic example was Scott and Amundsen in their race to the South Pole. Amundsen was Norwegian, Scott was British, and Scott again and again would not listen to people tell him how to do Antarctic snow and how to do this ultra freezing climate and how to do, you know, gasoline and fuel or kerosene or whatever it was. And you shouldn't do horses, you should do dogs. And you need to have supplies stashed here and there. And he just wouldn't listen. He lost the race. The Norwegians got there first. And of course, the Norwegians left them some supplies. But at the end of it all, the captain of his support ship that was sitting there waiting all year long while he was going to the South Pole, his support ship, the captain said, you need to have a supply depot 50 miles from the shore, from the coast on your way back, so that you've got 50 miles before you get back, you'll have some supplies that are waiting for you. You need that. Scott said, no, I don't. I'm sorry, he's British. No, I don't. You know, so it, and he ended up dying. It was 100 miles out that Scott wanted it. 100 miles before the shore was his last pit stop, his last chance to fuel up and fill up his tank with gas and get something to eat. And then you have to go to 100 miles with what he had. And the captain said, no, you need 50 miles. And Scott died 25 miles from the shore. It's like all these things he did wrong, but if he had listened just one time to something so simple, and it was a big argument the captain got in with him. I mean, it was not an easy, casual rejection. Just one easy no-brainer, and then all the big fat pile of stuff wouldn't have come. I mean, he wouldn't have died, and he would have survived. And I've seen that with my friends, and I'm the one that gets to explain it to them, you know. And the thing is this, now listen to me, because I have a feeling that you might be bumping into some people that you're going to have to explain the bad news to. You're going to have to take the test score, and you're going to have to explain the answers that they got wrong and help them. Because the friend's going to come to you with their bad test score. This happened to me. And you're going to be looking, you're going to go, oh, I know that answer. I know that. Oh, I know what I did wrong there. And you're going to look at all these things. You're going to see everything. And you're going to be the one that understands it. And it's just going to be the thing. You're the one who's going to explain it to them. And I was very gentle. You know, for one person, the last straw was tone. It was your attitude. I said, the boss told me that the reason you got fired was because of attitude. That there was a lot of stuff, a lot of work that wasn't done. There was a lot of stuff that wasn't finished on time. It was incomplete, but the boss would try to talk to you about it and you just argued about it. And the boss wanted to keep giving you a chance, but the boss told me that the big thing was that they didn't. And of course, like the boss is a friend of mine. It's not talking out of turn because it's correct. I wouldn't gossip like that. The boss said it was the attitude that the boss didn't want to deal with anymore. It's like, that was it. It was so simple. And the guy's like, well, but I've got to find a new job now. The boss is going to let you stay for 2 more months, man. He's giving you 2 months notice of firing you. Isn't that nice? But I don't have 2 months. I'm busy for 6 weeks. It's like, well, problems caused by attitude really are a BI itch, aren't they? And he's like, yeah, they are. I'm like, yeah, but I'm here to help. I'll see, you know, the boss isn't going to be a bad reference for you. Just doesn't want to deal with the attitude. And that's how to explain stuff to people. And it's really gentle and nice. And, well, you know, I know. I'll see what I can do. And if you're the guy or gal that people can go to, if you're the one that people can ask and that you'll be able to help them, then they'll hope that you're not going to sit, idiot! Ha ha! You know, that's not going to help them. And they're not going to come to you and ask how it happened. And there might not be anyone else to explain how it happened. And then they're just going to continue through life not knowing why it keeps happening. So just you know, you don't need to be angry about explaining to someone else, you know, that other person's problems that they made for themselves. Just really, you know, try to help. Well, this is what happened. I'll see what I can do. We all learn. I learn, you know, life is going to go on. It's going to go on. You'll learn your lesson. That really hurt. And then you'll end up with something better anyway. And God does this. It's like God knew the whole time. All right. So how this connects to Asia, I wanted to say that I was going to put that at the end of this segment, but it's really important to know how to talk to people and explain it in a way that's helpful. It really is. So I'm seeing this trend. So Hong Kong, someone asked me recently what I think is going to happen with Hong Kong. I'm not going to make the inside baseball thing long, but we're going on 10 weeks here. We're starting our 10th week. And once they finish week 10 and they go into week 11, it'll have been 70 days. And in 2014, the Umbrella Movement occupied central in the main strip of Hong Kong Island. We're talking right underneath the building where Batman kidnapped the banker, where the Occupy Umbrella Movement was. And they were there 79 days. So we're the news is the riots are getting to a place where it's going to be a record breaker. And whenever there's a record breaker, then that produces more headlines and more hubbub and more energy, good and bad opinion for and against. So we're getting to that. This is about to be another longest protest. A friend asked me, what do I think is going to happen? It really looks like a Taiwanese friend asked me what I thought was going to happen. When the Taiwanese don't know what's going to happen in Hong Kong, that's when we've got to talk to the guy who delivers today's news yesterday. It really looks like China is counting on those peace lovers to make a mess. Remember I talked in the last few weeks? They're these peace lovers. They want you to serve peace to them on a silver platter and make all the world nice. And you can't make any dust while you do it. You can't make any noise while you do it. You can't tell anyone they're wrong while you do it. They want you to just instantly wave your hands and they don't want to wave their hands. That's work. They want to just sit there and have you wave your hands and make the whole world peaceful. And if you don't do that, they'll go vomit all over everything, including you. And if you take your stand, you don't want to fall for anything. So you'll stand for something. Oh, they'll blame you. You stood for something. You're the troublemaker. That made people angry. And all of a sudden, for the first time, these so-called peace lovers are going to come out and attack you. It's like, weren't you all about peace? No, they're not about peace. They're about attacking people who have values and who live with a conscience. And I think China, Beijing, is banking on those people, the peace lovers, the angry, venomous peace lovers, like South Korea's president is. Hey, didn't I tell you he wasn't doing too hot? And now, headline came out a few hours ago. Well, I'm recording this on Monday, by the way. It would be 1:37 a.m. for those of you in Reed Rapids, where I'm recording this on Monday. And it wasn't too long ago the headlines came out, BBC or CNN. Kim Jong-un is going to push out South Korea because he can't get along with them, but he'll talk to Trump. He said, we'll talk to Trump, but not South Korea. This will be North Korea, U.S. This will not be North Korea, South Korea. We're not talking to you idiots in South Korea. You just want to fight. It's like, well, Japan and Kim Jong-un, Shinzo Abe and Kim Jong-un agree about that. They've got this angry, venomous, vindictive peace lover guy that wants peace and everyone to get along. And he goes and vomits all over everybody because he's so hateful inside. And I think there's always some of those around. And I think China is counting on those guys to come out of the woodwork and Hong Kongers to start fighting with each other. We've now got this support for police coming out in Hong Kong. This is new. This is brand spanking new. I'll get through this quickly, but this is part of my point with the gavel swinging and the buildup. Now we're getting to a new phase. For the first time, there's significant reports, not just isolated things, of people coming out in support of the Hong Kong police. And I'll tell you who these types are. These are the people with the master's degrees, the pharmacists, the lawyers, the engineers, not the PhDs, maybe. But these are going to be the people with the master's degrees or the people with two bachelor's degrees or something like that. A bachelor's degree plus. And they're upper middle income, you know, just a little bit higher above average on the white collar income pay scale. And these guys are basically saying, China's never been bad to me. They need my special skills and they puke all over everybody else, but they're nice to me. So I don't see what anyone would be angry about because they were always nice to me. So everybody should love them, even though they're mean to other people and not me. So I don't see what the problem is. That's the crowd that's going to come out and be supportive of the police. They're going to be in the government, you know, government workers, not all government workers. There are a lot of government workers that have been opposed to this. But that's what this is. These are the calm, cool establishment types, and they're rich, and they've been benefiting off of China sending people to Xinjiang and all that stuff. And so they're threatened, and they're going to be the ones coming out in support of the police. Okay. Here's what China's doing. I've been talking about the gavel swinging. And it goes on and on, and enough's enough. China's getting to a point where they're going to say, I really believe that the Chinese are going to send in forces. They say they're not, but I really think it's going to happen. Somehow, China's going to pull a power grab. And when it gets to that point, China will be saying, enough is enough. And, you know, they try to act all calm and condescending and pious and morally better than everybody else. You need to have order. You need to get along and be teachable. You need to not question your godly authority, even though we're atheists. You need, you know, and it'll be condescending and calm. And when they do it, it's going to be enough is enough. We've been patient for a long time. We've been patient longer than we needed to. It was so simple what you could have done to stop all this. And they're going to be acting like in Beijing, as if the people in Hong Kong were the ones building and building and building and testing everyone's patience. And what's really going to be going on is the people in Hong Kong and the West, United States, even South Korea, Japan, Britain, India, equal population to China. Remember that. China's this huge country, equal size to India in population. And a lot of China's uninhabitable, by the way. There's no reason why you'd want to own the land. Why does China want to own it anyway? They don't need to. There's other people there who live there for thousands of years who just want to be left alone and want to live in that land. China wants to own it all for no reason. There's no benefit. A lot of these big superpowers around China are going to look at what happens in Hong Kong, and they're going to be the ones saying about China, you've gone on too long. This has taken too much time. You've made too many mistakes. China's going to be saying enough is enough concerning Hong Kong, but the real enough is enough is going to be coming from the West looking at China. China, enough is enough. The other thing it relates to, I'll close with this, Taiwan. I just saw it again. It was in the news. Joseph Wu, the foreign minister for Taiwan, is all angry that the United Nations tweeted a list of whatever gender-friendly countries, and they listed Taiwan province of China. And Taiwan's foreign minister's all angry. I'm out of time. I'll tell you what the problem with that is tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this. I'll make tomorrow more interesting.